Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne, and today we're traveling to Central America to bring you two very old stories. Have you ever looked around and wondered in awe at the beautiful creations that surround you? You wouldn't be alone. As long as there have been humans, there have been stories about how the wondrous world came to be. And this creation story about how the sky, the earth, the sun, and all the people came to be comes from the ancient Aztec people who lived in Mexico. Here's Carolina Quiroga with The Hungry Goddess and the Five Sons, recorded live in the Appleseed Studio.
So I was thinking about sharing with you an Aztec myth from Mexico. And a little bit about this story is divided in two. And we start with a hungry goddess, and then we move on to the way the Aztecs interpreted how their world was made in different cycles. And there are, of course, two main characters, one called Quetzalcoatl. Can you repeat it for me? Okay, pretty good. And the other one is Tezcatlipoca. Tezcatlipoca, yes. You got it. You guys are already experts in Nahuatl then. Good. So we'll begin with the hungry goddess. In the place where the spirits lived, there was once a goddess in need. Oh, I'm hungry. Tengo hambre. Comida, food. Que me da un calambre, hambre. Hungry. Oh, she was hungry all the time. Perhaps because she had mouths in her wrists, mouths in her elbows, mouths in her back, even in her ankles. Annoyed by her constant wailing and voracious appetite, the other spirits declared her out of line. They said, "She can't eat here anymore! Que se vaya! Take her to the shore!" In those times, the spirits lived in the void. The world below had not been created at all. Yet, there was something underneath that seemed like water. How it got there, nobody knew, but it could fill up her hunger. The two spirits assigned to carry out the mission were Quetzalcoatl and Tezcatlipoca. The brothers seized the hungry goddess and dragged her down to the waters below. Then they tossed her in. Splash! But when she didn't sink, the brothers turned into snakes in a blink. Then they grabbed her from hands and feet, and they began squeezing and yanking her in all four directions, oh, so hard. She snapped in two sections. Yep. The brothers couldn't believe it. Oh, no, this is bad. Malo. ¿Y ahora qué hacemos? What do we do? Pero no nos lamentemos. Don't cry. With a bit of remorse and not exactly knowing what to do, the brothers picked up her bottom half and flew back without a laugh. Then they presented the broken body to the spirits above, who, by the way, were not surprised at all. They said, "What a shame. But do not worry. With this bottom half, we will make un cielo, a blue sky. Veremos, we'll see." Then, to console the poor goddess, the spirits promised her to use her upper half to create the world in one rhyming paragraph. And so, from her skin sprouted grass and flowers. From her hair, forests with mystical powers. From her eyes, pools and springs. And from her shoulders, mountains and hills. The spirits thought, "At last, no more cries. She will be satisfied. The new world will be a delight. Por fin, no más llanto. El mundo será un encanto." But they were wrong. Soon after that, mouths began to sprout everywhere. moaning, crying, and asking for bait. Oh, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. Comida, comida, comida. Food, 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 food. Que me da un calambre, hambre, hambre. I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. Today, some people say that when it rains, she drinks. That when trees fall or flowers shrivel, she eats. That she quenches her thirst for blood when people die in battle. That her mouths are opening and snapping shut like a hungry dragon. Other people will tell you that when the wind blows, you could still hear her crying for flesh and bones. So watch your step, my friends. And that's the end. Yes. Now, we move on to the second part of the story when the Aztecs explain how their world was made in different cycles. And this normally is called the Five Suns. After the earth had been stretched over the waters and shaped into mountains and valleys, the brothers, the spirits, began to gather up light to make the world and end the night. But now the question was, who will carry the sun, the new sun, and hold it high in the sky? Tezcatlipoca, who thought he was as fierce and strong as a jaguar, said, I am the spirit of the hour. And without consulting with the other spirits, he simply snatched the ball of light, tied it on his back, and leaped into the sky. The other spirits thought, ¿Qué más da? Let him be. Tezcatlipoca es fuerte. He's strong. If we say anything, we risk la muerte. So the spirits moved on with their creation, and they made the first people. But the first humans turned out to have humongous hands, gigantic heads, enormous feet. Those were giants and not exactly athletes. I mean, they were so big that when they fell, they were like helpless seashells. They couldn't even bend to scratch their knees. If they tried, they would tip over and then cry, oh, please! To make matters worse, the new sun, Tezcatlipoca's sun, was not very bright, often casting more shadows than glimmers of light. And so the spirits asked Tezcatlipoca to calm down, but he refused to be bossed around. Tired of his brother's tantrum, Quetzalcoatl tossed a stick against the breath, knocking Tezcatlipoca from the sky. The fallen sun, splash, sank into the waters that night. Oh, Tezcatlipoca was so furious that he turned into a jaguar, leaped across the waters and ate all the giants. And that was the end of the first cycle. Yep. Now we, Ocelotl, the jaguar son. Well, the spirits had to start all over. Yes, and a new batch of humans and a new son were released. And this time the new humans were of better size, like you, like me, right? But the new son was too weak. And by the way, that new son was not made with Tezcatlipoca's assistants, who was in a corner grouching out of distance. But eventually, they heard Tezcatlipoca's critique. He said, so you think that new sun works marvel? Ya veremos. We'll see if it travels. This time, Quetzalcoatl ignored his brother's comment. Honestly, man, this was not the moment. But Tezcatlipoca hated that. And so he came running and he pushed his brother to the ground. Soon both spirits were wrestling around. And so, from their fight, strong winds and hurricanes came that blew the sun away and reshaped the world again. Those people who ran fast, well, they began to bend over. The spirits knew this batch of humans will never recover. And so from their hunchbacks and aching knees, they were turned into monkeys, apes, and chimpanzees. And that was the end of the second cycle. Now we, Ejecatl, the wind, sun. But the third one is always a charm, right? The charm. So this time Tezcatlipoca and Quetzalcoatl were at peace, and a new batch of humans and a new sun were released, and everything was working like a clock. Until the spirits realized they were in for a big shock. One day they came to check on their creation, only to find out that the people had grown careless with their nation. Oh, the spirits were so furious that they burned the new sun until it exploded. A rain of fire poured all over. Those who ran fast were turned into turkeys after the blast. And that was the end of the third cycle. Yeah. Nahui Cuyahuitl, the fire sun. Well, this time, the spirits decided to make the rain god's wife the new sun. But this was a silly decision. She turned out to be a drippy vision. It rained all the time. The new humans were going out of their minds. All they could do was eat grass and watch the endless rain fall. Until a terrible flood wiped them all. Only a couple lived. The rest were turned into fish. Then the spirits warned the couple. No se coman los pescados. Recuerden que alguna vez fueron sus paisanos. No fish can become a dish. But the couple couldn't resist. And for that, they were turned into dogs, and that was the end of their luck. And the end of the fourth cycle, Nahui Atoll, the water sun. But we still have a problem, right? The world was still in darkness. The power of a real sun had not yet been harnessed. Knowing this, the Lord of Seashells, who thought of himself to be very bright, offered to become the new star. But since he was so vain, the spirits decided to call a second candidate. It was Nanahuatzin, a poor-looking spirit whose merit had yet to be seen. The Lord of Seashells and Nanahuatzin prayed and fasted for the sacrifice. Whoever wanted to become the new star had to walk into the flames at once. The Lord of Seashells shouted, "Yo lo haré! I will do it!" But when the moment came, oopsies, he feared the flames. Nanahuatzin, the poor-looking spirit, did not hesitate. He walked into the flames and embraced his fate. Well, then the Lord of Seashells felt so ashamed that he jumped in right after just to clear his name. Then the spirits waited for a while, and soon they saw two suns rising in the horizon. But how many do we need? One. You seem like you're doubting. No. All right. I mean, I think we've been using one for so long and it kind of works just fine, right? Just imagine having two suns, you know, burning, shining all bright during the summers. We'll be scorched. So yes, I agree. With one is enough. And knowing this, Tezcatlipoca saw a rabbit passing by. He picked it up and he tossed it into the sky. Boom! Hitting the second sun, the Lord of Seashells, dimming his light and turning him all white. Now we had a sun and a moon. But the celestial bodies were motionless. Knowing what they had to do, Quetzalcoatl and Tezcatlipoca walked into the flames. And one became the energy that runs our days, while the other became the energy that runs our nights and is changing ways. And this is the cycle in which we all live. El quinto sol, the fifth sun, Nahui Ojin, the sun of movement. Now, for those of you wondering what happened with the humans during this cycle, all I can say is that their bones were recycled. But that's a story for another time. Thank you.
That was Carolina Quiroga with The Hungry Goddess and the Five Sons. And listening to this story reminds me of creation stories in general, the stories at the foundation of cultures all over the world, the myths and legends of how things came to be in the very beginning. And it occurred to me that families do that too, create together the story of what's important to them, what they value, how they formed. And those foundational family stories can have a lot of power in the life of a family. When I was little, my mother wanted to capture some things about our foundational family story in a way that we kids would appreciate and remember. And my brothers and I remember watching her cut a big blue rectangle of cloth with her sharp scissors. And we watched her bind the edges of the cloth so it would be sturdy and so it wouldn't fray. And we watched her cut shapes from colored pieces of felt. And we watched her sew those pieces onto the big blue rectangle. We even watched her embroider what looked like words on the cloth. We watched her do these things over several days, wondering what she was working on. And then, when she was done, my mother showed us what it was that she'd been making. It was a family flag. Across the great blue field were four felt stars in a curving line, one for me and one for each of my brothers. They arced between a golden felt sun and a silver felt moon for our parents. And in the center of the flag, there were embroidered in yellow floss the words, "Mind and be kind." That was my mother's motto for the family. And to the right of those words, there was a red felt heart, frankly, to remind us that we loved each other. We four rowdy boys needed a reminder like that from time to time. And to the left of the words, there was a felt cutout that looked like the pictures of Jesus you might see in an illustrated Bible. That was to help us remember that we lived in a home of faith. And a lot has happened in my life since that flag was made. But the foundational family story that my mother so carefully told in those images and words comes back to me more often than I ever realized it would, as part of the creation story, not of the whole world, just of my tiny corner of it, the story of my family. And that's where Carolina's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along?
Why, the conversation is guaranteed when we listen to stories on the Appleseed.
There's a lot coming up, but first I want to introduce you to another show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts. The show is called Top of Mind, and it's perfect for people who want to engage with tough issues that matter in our communities, but are turned off by how polarizing and divisive these conversations can sometimes be. Each week, Top of Mind tackles one tough, important topic. And award-winning host Julie Rose talks with guests who have complicated perspectives that are sure to challenge you. Now, they're not trying to change your mind, just give you the chance to find more empathy and clarity so you can become a better citizen and a kinder neighbor. Listen to Top of Mind on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, all kinds of ways to find Top of Mind and listen whenever you like, whenever you need it. Top of Mind with Julie Rose from BYU Radio.
Simultaneously laughing, we're all agreed that we love, love, love the Appleseed.
It's such a pleasure to be with you today on the Appleseed. Our next creation story comes from Jasmine Cardenas. She brings us a story from the Embera people who live in Panama and Colombia. It's another legend about the shiny, beautiful sun and how it helped create something else that's shiny and beautiful. Here's Jasmine with Neo Oro, or How Gold Got Its Name.
In the region that you and I call Panama and Colombia, there is a divider in the land. A divider that was not quite so natural, but man-made, the Panama Canal. But before the Panama Canal was created, there were people that lived on that land. And the Embera people are one tribe of people that still live in what we call Panama and Colombia. They just kind of got split in two. But the Embera people are unique. If you look at them, their bodies are tattooed with the stories of their lives. The children and the adults alike. They just gather more stories as they grow. And this story is about a little boy. As we know, many times people don't always consider the ability of the youngest or smallest in quite the way that we should. And this small boy, he loved his familia. He watched as his mama and his papa and his aunts and uncles and grandparents went out and worked the land. And he worried for them, for the sun took up all of the sky. It was so hot and so massive that he worried. For his family was working all the day long. And he wanted to help, but he didn't quite know how. And then he thought, oh, el cacique will know. El cacique was the leader of the tribe. El cacique knows all things. And so little Oro, as it was his name, went to find el cacique and to speak to him. And when he went and saw el cacique being fanned by many and fed by all, he said, oh, great cacique, couldn't you do something to shrink the sun to help our families so they might not get so tired out in the fields? And that cacique looked at that little boy. Oh, you silly little boy. No one can shrink the sun. No one. Send this boy away. He needs more work. And el cacique sent him away. El Niño Oro was so mad because not only had el cacique laughed at him, but the other people had laughed at him too. And he did not appreciate it. Well, he decided, I must do something myself then, because I worry for my abuela. I worry for my grandma and my abuelos. And so he got a satchel out, and he started to collect stones and rocks, little stones that he could find, and fill his satchel until it was quite heavy. And he took out his cauchera, his slingshot, and he put it in his pants, and he began to walk up the mountain. The Andean mountains climb through South America, and in Colombia, they split off into uno, dos, tres mountain ranges. And so he was climbing up the mountain range closest to the ocean. And as he got up there, he got closer and closer to that sun that was so hot. And he pulled out his satchel, and he pulled out his cauchera, and he put one little stone in and aimed up to the sky, and zoom! He could barely see. And he did it again. Zoom! Something orange and yellow fell from the sky down into the water. And he did it again. Zoom! Oh, zoom! Little pieces of fiery yellow and orange, and it fell into the crevices along the rocks and along the mountainside and in the holes in the mountain and along the paths. And the people, the Embera people, began to run and hide in their huts because the sky was falling on them. And he stood up there all day flinging rocks. Zoom! 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 And when he was out of pebbles and stones, he looked, and it wasn't quite as bright. El Niño Oro collected his empty satchel and his cauchera, his slingshot, and he walked down the mountain's edge. And when he arrived to his people, the Embera people called out to him, Oro! Oro! They brought him to the foot of El Cacique. And el cacique looked at him. Little boy Oro, you are not so silly. You showed great bravery to take on the sun. And you won. And they placed on his head a crown made of those fiery pieces that fell from the sky that they called Oro, in honor of the little boy who saved them from the sun. Oro, in Spanish, means gold. And that is how gold got its name. Thank you. Thank you.
That was Jasmine Cardenas with Neo Oro, or How Gold Got Its Name. Did you ever try to fix a problem in your family or community like Neo Oro did? If so, what were some of the obstacles that made it hard? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on the show. You can reach us through our social media channels or email us at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed@byu.edu. And don't forget to check out our companion podcasts, Kaboom for original audio adventures, and Wink, Stories for Better Bedtimes, wherever you listen to podcasts. We want to thank Carolina Quiroga and Jasmine Cardenas for their tales today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, Brian Tanner, and Kira Van Dam. The rest of the Appleseed team is Tristan Schetzel, Kay Hendricks, and Nico Wetzel. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcast, Kaboom, where you'll hear original audio adventures for the whole family. You can find any episode of The Appleseed or Kaboom on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, on the BYU Radio app, or at byuradio.org. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, and leave a review. That's how the shows grow. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on The Appleseed.